Have you ever heard a man preach when you felt in your heart that you couldn't agree with what he was saying? And have you thought that just because he was a preacher, he must be right, and that's because you differed with him, you must be wrong? Well, that wasn't the right way to feel, because even though he were a preacher and even though he were sincere, he might not have the truth. And even though you're not a preacher, and even though you're sitting just in the congregation, you might understand the gospel better than he. Now, we've been studying, in our last study, we began looking at a young preacher by the name of Apollos, who was really a very remarkable preacher. We shall find later in the book of Corinthians that when we read there in 1 Corinthians, we'll find that from what Paul writes, that the Corinthian church, the Corinthian congregation, compared Apollos with Paul. And although Paul was an old veteran apostle, and Apollos was evidently a young man who had come up from Alexandria and had come from an entirely different background and a different type of procedure altogether, yet the people were so affected by Apollos that they compared him to Paul. And yet we were just noticing in the latter part of our last study, if you will remember, we were just noticing that Apollos, when he was preaching, did not have a full grasp of the gospel, of the truth of what is actually so in the Lord Jesus Christ. This will remind us again that the Christian gospel is not a matter of telling you what to do. If the Christian gospel were a description of a perfect life, you could write it down one time and there it would be. There'd be no argument about it. But the Christian gospel is a revelation to you of what God will do for you, in you, by the Lord Jesus Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit. This is the real, inner, long, eternal meaning of the Christian gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be sure, you are brought to God by Christ Jesus dying for your sins, and your sins will be forgiven, and so you belong to God. But that can be done just in the very day that you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and understand him and you believe in him. All that's done right then and there. For the rest of your days, what is there? For the rest of your days, there is the indwelling Christ. By the Holy Spirit in you, God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. This was something that apparently Apollos did not know. And Apollos in his preaching preached, as we found out, according to the preaching of John the Baptist. And that would mean to me that when you would have listened to Apollos preach, you would have heard a man preaching against sin. You would have heard a man talking about sin being wrong in the sight of God. You would have heard a man warning people, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You would have heard a man encouraging people to confess their sins and to repent, to acknowledge before God that they were unworthy. That was as far as he went. And day after day after day after day, and time after time that you would hear this man preach, that's what he would preach. And if you were an honest, sincere person, you would feel deep down in your heart it was all true. When Aquila and Priscilla heard this young man preach, they knew there was something lacking. There was something more true than what he was saying. And so in chapter 18, the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 26, Aquila and Priscilla took him in unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now in verse 27 we read, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Apollos was going to move on. In those days, these preachers were very much like our evangelists, like our traveling Bible teachers. They came from church to church to preach the gospel and to interpret the scriptures and to teach the truth as it was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man had come up to Ephesus and had talked there, and Aquila and Priscilla had told him what they more about the truth of the gospel, which he had grasped. And now he was disposed to pass into Achaia. And by the way, in the country of Achaia, Achaia is the name of a region, very much like you might say into Texas or into Pennsylvania or into California, that sort of thing. And so when he was disposed to pass over into this country of Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. That is to say, the brethren there in Ephesus wrote ahead and encouraged the people in Achaia to receive Apollos. You see, a servant in public life needs the testimony of those who know him. When a man comes in from the outside, he would be a complete stranger to you if it were he were not, in a sense, certified to you by people in whom you have confidence. In our various churches, we have ways of doing that. When young men come forward to preach, scarcely anybody would really know who they are or where, what they would do and so on. And so we have schools for training them, and then we have examinations for them to pass. Then we have an ordination, examination and ceremony, in which the church authorizes a certain young man, we will say, to preach, which is a way of commending him to all the rest of the church to say, this man has been tested, and he has been found to understand the gospel and to be a reliable man with it, that kind of thing. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. I'm impressed by the fact that they wrote this way, even though he had only recently come to know the whole truth. Evidently, Apollos had acted so candidly, and evidently he had acted so sincerely, that they had the fullest confidence in him and urged these people in Achaia to receive him. Now I'm reading the rest of verse 27. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. This man Apollos must have been a very useful preacher. He came into this new community of Achaia and helped them much which had believed through grace. He would help them to enter into this grace wherein we stand. You see, there is such a thing as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to walk with him, and not fully understanding all that it means day in and day out. That's what preachers are for. And some preachers are actually helpful to you because they help you understand how to do it. Some people are less help to you because they don't really contribute to your understanding of the whole thing. But this man, Apollos, helped them mightily. He helped them greatly who had believed through grace. And then we read in verse 28 how this was done. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Evidently, this man Apollos was a great orator. He was a great man to reason in public. And he mightily convinced the Jews, that is openly and that publicly, he was able to handle their questions and to discuss them, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now notice again, this is not by the New Testament records. They had not been written. But this is showing by Old Testament promises and predictions that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had known about and who had died and whom the disciples said had risen from the dead, who had ascended into heaven and had sent out his Holy Spirit, this Jesus of Nazareth really was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And one could wonder in oneself if you and I would recognize the preaching. Would we recognize the preaching if a man started in to show us from the Old Testament that Jesus of Nazareth really was the Christ? That this person, Jesus of Nazareth, really was the Son of God? Now, mind you, this is not a matter of just saying it because you read it in the New Testament. You read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is a matter of looking at the Old Testament and being able in there to see that the truth of the matter in the Old Testament was such that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled it. For example, in a very simple way, you will remember how the book of Matthew points out that the Old Testament said that Christ would be born of a virgin. And he was. He would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he was. He would be born of the line of David. This is Old Testament material. And he was. And this would be the kind of thing Apollos would point out, that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, was descended from David, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was born of a virgin. These things would be set out before the people. Now in the Old Testament it was predicted that this Messiah, this Christ, would be a righteous servant of God, And that word righteous implies without sin, righteous servant of God, that there would be no sin in him. And Apollos would have pointed out that the life of Jesus of Nazareth showed no sin, that he completely obeyed, that he fully and totally obeyed the will of God, the law of God, and really was the righteous branch in whom Almighty God could take pleasure. The Old Testament said that Messiah would perform miracles, that he would heal the sick, that he would open the eyes of the blind, that he'd make the lame to walk. And Apollos would point out that Jesus of Nazareth did these things, and he performed the miracles that the Old Testament said Messiah would perform, that Christ would perform. The Old Testament said that Messiah would be gracious to the poor. He would be gentle and gracious with the poor. And Apollos would preach that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, was gentle and gracious to the poor. The Old Testament would have pointed out that Messiah would come to be offered as a sin offering for his people, that he would in himself bear away the sins of his people. And all the worship services of the tabernacle and of the temple, which would show how a sinner could come to God, and which we believe was actually, objectified, actually brought to pass in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Apollos would preach that a sinner could come to God by the shedding of the blood of the sacrifice, and a sinner could come into the presence of God because God would forgive him if the sinner would come to the mercy seat. And this was the way opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, serving as our priest, would go in to the very presence of God for us. And so the Old Testament would point out that Messiah would rule over his own, and he would become the Lord of all. So, Apollos would argue, that Jesus of Nazareth became the Christ and would be the King of Kings and the Lord of all. These are just suggestions, as I have listed them, of the things that Apollos would have preached publicly and eloquently to prove that Jesus really was the Christ. And this mightily convinced the Jews and greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand and to believe more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.